My name is Bianca Harley. I make my living in architecture and commercial interior design, but I'm passionate about art and do different kinds of arts at times. And right now, I actually today brought what I call my sacred seat pieces, because I've been on a very interesting journey about my relationship to seat, and I will talk about that a little bit, and also about sacred water, because when you said, you know, the theme is we are of water, I immediately went to some of the experiences I've had. So these are the I have to start from the beginning. There we go. And now go to there. Whoops. There, we'll start there. These are some of the pieces that you see, and I call them sacred seat pieces because I literally work with the seats, and a lot of them are seats that I have relationships with. And to me, they're sacred because when I put them in this form, I realize that I take from them their potential to ever become what lies within them. And so I have this dialogue with the seats when I work with them. My relationship to seeds changed pretty dramatically in 2011. There were 7 people of us in Placidas were offered a 2-acre farm in Algodones, and it was an irrigated field, and they said, if you want to farm it this year, you can. And I joined that effort thinking that I would learn something, because I come from farming stock in Germany, but it's a very, very different environment, and I regularly garden and grow every year, but I don't know much about growing in New Mexico. So I joined this effort of 7 people, and we plowed up this field. There were actually, I think there's only 1 farmer in the bunch and 1 master gardener, so we were pretty green, and we had this whole two acres to farm. But so we did. We plowed, and we seeded. We had wonderful, sacred, you know, viable seeds from San Felipe that we planted, and my friend Vicky Peck, who is here with me, we did a lot of crawling on the ground and you know, in a very sacred way, planting these seeds. And so we did a lot of plowing, seeding, and a lot of watering. We did have water irrigation system there. And then it grew. The field grew, and much to our surprise, we actually had a fairly viable harvest for 7 very green people to take on this effort was pretty extraordinary. So right there, that's actually me and Vicky Peck, who is right here, and Suzanne in the back. We all of the seeds that we had were heirloom seeds and reproducible seeds. So that's where I really started understanding that, I mean, some of these seeds I use in the pieces, and I really honor the fact that they are uncontaminated. They're not GMOs. They're viable, reproducible seeds every year. So I became very aware of the quality of our seeds. And about this time, Jade Leva, who isn't here today because she's actually in Mexico presenting her project, and her husband is here, she called a show, created a show called Seeds, a Collective. And a collective voice for seeds. And her work is also to raise awareness about the viability of seeds and, you know, some of the practices of the Monsanto Corporation. So that's actually when I started doing these seed pieces, but then used actual seed that I was familiar with because it came out of this growing effort. At the same time, I became very good friends with Vicky Peck, who I didn't know before this farming effort. And she is, amongst many things, a Pachamama journey leader to the Amazonian rainforest. And her work is, she is extremely passionate about preserving the rainforest, because that climate, I mean, it's the largest CO2 sequestration in the world that is happening there. And as we're losing that mass, the global warming is, it's just a downward spiral, or upward spiral rather. And she said, you know, you should go to the Amazon with me, because you are very insightful and very connected to things. And so I said, well, if the stars align, I'll go. And then 6 months later, I found myself in this place, which is in Ecuador. I don't quite know yet how that happened, but it did. And I'm really I was extremely honored to travel with Vicky there. She's a microbiologist and really understands at a very deep level that climate there and that ecosystem. So when I went, something happened. There. When I went with her, at this point I should say that for about 10 years I've been practicing a lot of deep meditation. I do yoga and I've been studying consciousness and different levels of consciousness, and that's what really attracted me to that journey. And it was, I need to find my water actually, which is right there, do you mind? Thank you. I'm very dry. It was really a magic mystery journey. I mean, it was really an extraordinary journey to find the connections. I mean, it's been interesting to me how many people are seeing the connections. We're all seeing the connections. It's impossible to go almost anywhere now, turn a TV on, and there'll be some talk, some program about the fact that we are all interconnected. And in my work as a deep meditator, we go into that state where we're in what we call the matrix, and we're just in there and connecting with everything there is. And I would say I had this experience right here in the forest, which one of our fellow travelers captured. And in that moment, I think I solidified about 10 years worth of deep meditation work when I had an experience of absolute oneness. So about 25 years before this, I had a very, very profound dream about being in the rainforest at the foot of a kapok tree. And in that dream, I was a little, I was part of a primate group, and I was the little baby that stirred, and the mother picked me up and pulled my roots from my spine out of the ground. And to me, that symbolized the separation and the illusion of separation that we've lived with, particularly in the Western culture in which I grew up. And so to me, to go back there, and my intention was really to reconnect those roots. And I had that feeling very, very strongly in that moment. There were many other moments in that journey that were really quite spectacular. But to me, this was the culmination of 10 years of trying to go into that inner world. I mean, when we live here and we have these five outer senses that we need in order to navigate this world, in some of the traditions like the Aztecs, they're saying we have 20 inner senses. And I've been trying to cultivate those and to actually go to those other levels of consciousness. And in that moment, I became completely aware of the fluids that were rushing through the tree, the roots that went down. Has anybody seen Avatar? I mean, if anybody's seen Avatar, the movie, this is like Mother Tree. I mean, I was so completely connected to the symbiotic relationships that were happening there with the insects and with the animals that I haven't quite been the same since, although this work has really been on my path. And I was really, really grateful for that experience. After that, I want to talk a little bit about this gentleman. This is a little bit of this comes together sort of in my work later. But does anybody here know? Has anybody seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? Some people have seen it. And there's a small segment in there on Dr. Emoto's work, and he talks. I don't know. Have you seen that, Joan? I mean, yeah. The movie was What the Bleep Do We Know, but it really just had a small segment in it. I just wondered if people saw it. But Dr. Emoto he's Japanese, and he actually doesn't come from science. I think he was in another area. But he became very interested in water specifically. And he realizes that water is an incredibly receptive element, and that we, you know, us being water, that this is really important as to what dialogue we have with water. And so what he does is he figured out a way to freeze water and to capture the crystallization of the water at certain stages. And so on the left, for instance, is a very, very water from a very polluted lake. And then they blessed the water. They went around. There were a bunch of people that went around this lake, and they blessed it. And then they took the crystals again. And on the right is the same water after the blessings. And what he does many times is he'll take clear water, and he puts messages on the water. And he will try and say, well, here's a message, I love you, or gratitude, and then photograph the crystals that form. Or then he'll say, I hate you, or anger, or something like that. And he photographs very different crystals. Now, like many things that are a little bit on the edge of our comprehension, there is a lot of controversy about that, but I would say that there are many, many people. I mean, he's asked to speak the world over now, and many people are understanding that water, there is a consciousness that runs through all of us. Now, my experience in the forest when I was laying on that tree, and many other experiences that I've had in my meditation works, are that we are connected through that matrix, and that everything does have that consciousness. And so I particularly love his work. You can Google him. There's a lot of information about his work out there. And I think it's pretty compelling, and particularly felt so for today's topic. Another thing was that very recently, one of our friends that we meditate with received an email from the founder of the Findhorn Foundation. And the Findhorn Foundation, I don't know if anybody familiar with them, you know them, of course, yeah. They were one of the early front runners that kind of saw the trajectory. And they said, we're gonna have some problems down the road. We need to get into ecology, into sustainability, and we need to raise consciousness to do it. So my particular path is about changing consciousness and understanding the different layers, and that we're literally tied into different connectedness as we change our states of consciousness. And in my particular work, that is through meditation. But the founder of Findhorn was drinking apparently a glass like this fairly recently, and then as he was raising it, a water spirit appeared in the glass and spoke to him or transmitted the information to him that there's a call from water to please honor it and support it and send it love. And because of the major, major events that have happened, that the consciousness of water as a whole is stressed. Now, to me, having so much water inside of me, I mean, at this age, we're probably like 70% water. This is a very interesting notion to me, to say, what does it really mean, what I tell myself? And if water is that receptive, and if it does have a consciousness and it lives inside of me, then I better need to step up to the plate and be more aware of how I treat myself and the water within me, and the water that we use in our day-to-day, whether we drink or brush our teeth or water our gardens. So another thing that I'm particularly interested in is the work of Lynn McTaggart. Has anybody here heard about, you know, Lynn McTaggart's work? Yeah. She's a British journalist, and she went on a journey actually looking at some medical information with certain things that she was interested in, and it took her on a very interesting journey to learn about what science is finding about that matrix and that grid that is tying us all together. They're doing incredible work, but not a lot of it surfaces because a scientific career is very fragile if you're really out on a limb. But so she's written these three books, and the one that interests me particularly, well, all three of them I really love, because the Germanic part in me likes to have the science, and it says, where's the proof to this other stuff that normally I just function on this intuitive side? And in the intention experiment, she really examines how does human consciousness really affect the world around us? And what she does at this point is she takes very large groups of people that come together at the same time. She may do like 200 people, and they will pick something that they all want to focus on. And it's basically like a mass prayer that they come together and they say maybe they'll take a healing, or maybe they'll do, you know, some event that is happening that they wanna basically focus on and affect an outcome. Now, this is, to me, very compelling work, because I went back and said, well, how hard was it for us to grow this field? I mean, we had it easy because we had sprinklers. And I was thinking about the people that are not having such an easy time with growing. But even so, we in Placidas are having a very difficult time, just like you guys are in the Hemas. I mean, it's very difficult to grow right now. Everything is parched. I mean, and through my experience, when I go into my meditations, I will be in a den with a bear where a cub is suckling on a dry breast of a mother. I mean, these are kind of hard things to digest sometimes. And so out of that, my little idea was that we would take a group in Placidas and do our own little Placidas intention experiment. And we now are, I think, 8 people on Sunday mornings at the same time. We get together. Everybody works in their own preferred modality that they access the divine, whichever your preferred way is. You have that dialogue. And we do it in our own space, so we don't have to coordinate getting together, but we do it at more or less the same time. And are there any transcendental meditation folks in here? I think it came out of the Maharishi tradition where they say if the square root of 1% of a given population will focus and will work with an intention and with a prayer in that sense, you can affect change. Now, I looked at Placidas and I said, okay, we're 5,000 people, that's about 50 people, or 1%, and the square root of that is 7.07 people. And so right now we're 8, I think we're all very busy, and I think the sort of sadder thing is that most of us are very complacent about it still within a degree, because we can still turn on our faucet. We're not in that state as the women where the bowl, you know, where they have dust in their bowls. So, but even with that, we did this last year, and we were saying we are seeing 12 inches of gentle precipitation, and that there was a lot of emphasis on gentle in our area this year. We're also at the same time trying to muster up as much mindfulness about any time that we deal with water as we can every day. And so on the 31st of December last year, I totaled my log, and at my house, which is on the dry side of Placidas, we ended up with 12 inches and a quarter, which is juxtaposed to the years before. We had 5 inches the year before, 7, I think, the year before, and, you know, it's then spiked sometimes to a good year. Now, I do not know whether what we did had an impact, but neither do I know that it didn't. And so for me, this work is really compelling, because I come from a world where I believe that we have agency with the divine. I mean, as most people believe, we believe it in different ways. But so these are the things that I do know from these experiences, and this is the work that I embody when I do my artwork, is that all things are alive and connected. I mean, to me, that is beyond question, and I think that extends to even objects that we generally do not consider alive. And I would say that reality is fluid and of infinite possibility. I think the trajectory is so clear right now that we're saying, well, it's going to go that way, but yes, there are other possibilities, and I think it is high time that we look for them, and I commend all the people who are doing the hard work to work with the people who are really on the front line of the difficulties that we're encountering. And I do say that we are indeed of water, because I feel the water in myself every day, and that the sacred seed is within us. And that if we just lift a finger to engage that source, I know a lot of people do, that we do have agency, and that there is a lot of hope in this work that comes from these deeper levels of being. So that is how I come to my work. That's what I embody in my work. And that is pretty much what I wanted to share today. So I thank you very much for your attention. And we had talked about possibly doing, as I do meditation work, whether there is an interest and whether people would like to take a few minutes to do a water meditation. And if everybody wants to do it, I think we can. I think we had some nice background. So are you guys up for that? Do people want to do it? And then after that, I think there's break and food. So that's great. So this is an experiment. I haven't done it in this forum before, so we'll just try. I normally sit and have my blinders on, so I'm going to try to close my eyes because I try to go inward for this. And I invite you to go along if you like. You don't have to. So we have some beautiful sound. So if you like, just relax your body. Rest your arms, maybe on your knees or do your thighs, your hands on your thighs. And breathe very gently. Exhale. Exhale. Maybe exhale again. And then just follow the breath. Don't try to control it or change it. Just follow the breath. Put your awareness by your nose where the breath enters into your body. Watch it gently. Inhale and exhale. Maybe with the next breath, follow the breath into your lungs. They are like trees, branches and trees. There is an exchange where the air, the oxygen, comes to your body and turns into the fluid, joins the fluid in your body. And bring your attention to your heart. Feel the water within the heart as it ebbs and flows, as it enters and goes. Fluid moves up into the upper chest and into the arms and out the arms, into the hands. It is the water of life. It is within us. Back up the shoulders and into the head, into a beautiful brain that lets us experience life. And the fluid moves back to our heart, down into our lower abdomen. It is like the sea that moves with tides in and out, rivers flowing. It moves down into our legs and into our feet and rises back up like a tide. We return to our heart. We feel the fluid in our body. We are one with an ocean. We are one with an ocean. The tide moves and the waves rise and fall. We are a wave. We are a drop of water in the ocean. We are a drop of water in the ocean. We are a drop that is one with all. We are a drop of water in the ocean that is we. I am a drop of water. I am a drop of water. I am who you I am. Beautiful to see you. I'm sorry, I feel like the oneness with people when I do that. So thank you very much. Enjoy the wonderful food. And that is it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bianca. Thank you so much.